You know, we all enjoy a fellowship and studying the Word and all that stuff because somebody opened those doors to us.
Yep.
Somebody invited us to come and see. And they told us something. It may have been a park bench. It might have been in a mall. It might have been because we were friends together with somebody else and we met each other. But somebody told us something that interested us. And they invited us to come and see. And they opened up their homes and they made it available to come and study the Word. And so I was thinking about, from our experience last night, what it meant to be given to hospitality. Mm. Given to hospitality.
I enjoyed it more than y'all.
So let's go to John chapter 1, verse 35.
One you said?
Yeah, got John chapter 1, verse 35.
Thank you.
I remember the person who told me the first time about the accuracy of the Word. I had been going to church since I was a small kid. And I was always very much, I love God, I love Jesus Christ. I believe I was born again when I was 5 years old. But that doesn't mean I was all that time until my later teens was I always had a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. So there was a medical doctor I had when I was a kid whom I met later when I was in my first year of college. And we were at a meeting together and he gave me a ride home because I didn't have a car, didn't even have a driver's license. So he gave me a ride home, and here's this older guy, younger than I am now, this older guy, started talking about Jesus and talking about the Bible and talking about a class and where I can learn about the Bible. And I'm going, oh boy, this is getting awkward. This is getting really awkward. And so, but the one thing I did was impressed by that he cared enough to tell me this, because I know this that was not awkward for him, but it must be purposeful on his part to take the time to tell this pimply-faced 17-year-old kid about something that was very precious to him. And so I invited him into his house, and I met his wife and his adult children, and was just really, really impressed. And he took me to church with him. And then he stuck me on a bus and he sent me to Ohio and he said, when you get there, they'll be doing a lot of things that you don't understand. And that was my introduction to the Power for Abundant Living class and all the believers up there and the accuracy of his word and how important that was, that I didn't even know it was important, but he showed it to me because he cared about me and he opened his home to me. And he was very, very precious to me. His name was Dr. Spencer. Tracy. No, Dr. Tracy Spencer. It was exactly opposite of the actor. Mm-hmm. Spencer Tracy and Tracy Spencer. Yeah. Anyway, Dr. Spencer was just one wonderful man. And you know what? At the weekend, Alex told about her life experience and being addicted to something. He was also an addict, but he had become an addict from prescription drugs that he was able to prescribe to himself because doctors have to stay up a lot. And he started that way by taking drugs to help him stay awake, to take care of the patients and all the other things. But he had gotten over that. He had gotten over that because of the Word. And I know that he was speaking from a position of authority and knowledge when he told me about Jesus Christ. So, here in John chapter 1, verse 35, it says, and again the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Well, if you were his disciples and he pointed to Jesus and he says, Behold the Lamb of God, what would you want to do? And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now they were following John up to this point. But when John identified who the Lamb of God was, meaning the Messiah, they wanted to go see what he had to say. They wanted to become his disciples.
Big turning point.
Big turning point. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what seek ye? Mm-hmm. And they said unto him, Rabbi.
Rabbi.
Yeah, that's how they, that's how we would say it. Oh. But in West Virginia, no, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? Now, did Jesus Christ have a house?
No.
That's the first thing they
asked. But they asked where he lived so they could come and study with him.
Oh, cool.
Do you see that?
That's cool.
Yeah.
First question.
Yeah. He said unto them, what?
Come and see.
Come and see. Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now, he didn't have a house of his own, but he was staying someplace. Mm-hmm. He didn't always have to sleep under the stars. So, but they came and they stayed with him that day. And I'm sure they learned a lot. So, but the point was, is that he brought him home. He brought him home with him. Come and see. And that's a great statement to give somebody who says, I'd like to know more. And the only reason they would say, I'd like to know more, is because you have said something to get their attention. Mm-hmm. There's something that you have said that they think that they need. Mm-hmm. And so they want to know. And the great response would be, come and see. Mm-hmm. And of course, that means we have to open up our doors. Invite them into our house. Now, not everybody that is going to be a Christian is going to have a fellowship. Be a fellowship leader. That's otherwise, there'd be nobody going to a fellowship, right? Yeah. It'd all be standing in their front door with it open, waiting for people to come in. But the point is that we all can be hospitable as Christians, right? We can all have that hospitality. So, for someone to receive the invitation, there must first be an invitor. So, you are the invitor.
Yeah.
Yep. So, in Titus chapter 1, verse 5. We'll start there. Titus chapter 1, verse 5. It says, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are what?
Wanting.
There was needs there. And so he left him behind. And do what? Ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Now, who are elders? What is their job?
The old.
Hmm?
The old. Yeah, no.
Oh, they're the ones that go take the abundant sharing, right? They go down the aisles and hold the platters out for you to put your... No, that isn't their job.
No.
That isn't the job. That's what it has turned into. They are leaders. They are leaders of home fellowships. Okay? And they are the ones who are teaching others. Mm-hmm. And they also help. But they are the ones that are out ministering the word to people. And guess what? What's happening? They were all bunched up. They were all bunched up in one great big fellowship.
Where, in Titus?
Well, they're in Crete. Right?
Who wrote this? Because it says, I love
thee. This would be Paul.
Oh, okay.
But the point was is that they were all bunched up and they weren't having home fellowships. They needed more elders to be appointed so that the fellowships could be broken up and be more intimate. And when that happens, there's growth. There's more people that can be invited in. And if the fellowship gets bigger, then it splits and there's more people that can be invited in. Because houses can only get so big, right? I mean, you can hold only so many people in homes. in a home. But if you have multiple homes, then there's more and more people that can be ministered to. So, verse 6, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless, as the stewards of God, not self-willed, not angry,
not soon angry,
not given to wine, no striker, somebody that's always wanting to fight, not given to filthy lucre, in other words, they're not taking the abundant sharing and abusing it, but what?
A lover of hospitality.
Now, hospitality simply means that you really, really enjoy taking care of people you don't know. Strangers. But they're only strangers the first time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the thing is that you open your home, you open your life, and you invite people in. That's what it is. But it's the lover part. It's the ones that really follow after that, who seek after that. I was talking with Jim Milton the other day, and we were talking about people who we know who once were taught these same scriptures and knew that this is what they should be doing. But they have carved out their life to where they think that they're only teachers. And my only job is to teach. And when the teaching's done, I remove myself. I'll let somebody else take care of the people. You see?
Yeah. Yep.
That says we need to be lovers of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, having self-control, self-will, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. That lover of hospitality, though, is a key ingredient. A key ingredient of an elder bishop. So, see, our homes is where the Word of God grows into maturity. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 7. First Peter chapter 4, verse 7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. And that's more than just a little bit of, well, you got to like each other. No, you really, really love each other. It's fervent. It's hot love. Fervent charity. For charity shall overcome the multitude of sins. Now, I've heard this quoted, a multitude of sins before. A multitude is just a big bunch, right?
One multitude.
Yeah, a multitude is a big bunch. The multitude is all of it.
Wow.
All of it. So, that's how powerful love is. That's how all-encompassing love is. That's how all-forgiving love is. That's how everything love is, that it overcomes everything that's bad. Everything that is evil, everything that has happened that should have never happened, love overcomes it. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah, no.
But all I know is that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that everything in the world was created because of love. Everything that is good is because of love. Everything that gives life is because of God's love. So it is One of the most powerful things in the universe is God's love. And so when we say that love covers the multitude of sins, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. And then it says, use hospitality one to another without what?
Grudging.
Yeah.
There are times
when I have heard people say that they had other things that were more pressing. There are people that come that may not be such a blessing or something like that. And I don't know if I want them in our house. I haven't heard that in my house. But I have heard it before, is that they just don't want those people in their home. That just broke my heart when I heard that.
Read James.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it's so outside of this. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And I'm not saying that somebody wants to come in and purposely disrupt your life and your home, and that they're inspired of the devil to do that, that that's something that you want to invite into your house. But just because somebody is a little different doesn't mean that they're disqualified. Verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. So what is that gift? Gift of Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. If everyone has received, right?
Oh, right.
Every man received the gift. It has to be Holy Spirit. Even so, minister the same one to another. So what do we give people? The chance to believe and to receive Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
It is manifold.
Yeah, but we're the stewards. We are the ones deciding who gets told. That's a big responsibility. That is a big responsibility. So, just tell everybody.
Yeah.
Verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. So when you speak, speak the word. And speak it with authority. That's what I mean, as the oracles of God. Speak the word with authority. When you minister, speak the word, or minister with authority. Don't do it halfway. Don't do it lukewarm. Speak it with authority, because you've been given the authority. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Who gets the glory?
God.
Through Jesus Christ. You cannot get anybody to God except it be through Jesus Christ. It has to be through the knowledge of Him and accepting Him, as Romans 10, 9 and 10 points out. We have to go by way of Jesus Christ. Because when we do that, that is the only way that God's allowed. That is the door of which He's opened to His throne room. He is the doorway. There is no other way. There's not many roads to Chicago. Okay, not every religion is going to get somebody in a relationship with God. No matter how sincere they are. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no other one that can be done but by through Him. To whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Well, should we praise Jesus Christ? Yeah. Should He have dominion? Yeah, He's Lord of lords and King of kings. I would say that's dominion. You betcha. Forever and ever. Amen. It is our honest and pure love of people that would ever open up our lives and our homes so that they may have a place and a chance to grow up into Christ. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3.
And what we learned last weekend was that we're seated in the heavenlies with Him.
That's right. Together with
right
Him.
Right now.
And I'm sorry, you said 1 Timothy what?
3. Verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop, then, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to what?
Hospitality.
My gosh, there it is again. And apt to teach. Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Does that mean children can't be children? No. Children are going to be children. But if they're burning down the town, there's a problem. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without. In other words, he has a good reputation in his community. Lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Well, if the devil can take these men and women who are accepting this kind of responsibilities of being elders and bishops, if he can snare them, they're trapped. They can't get away. You see? They don't have to be taken out of the game, but now they are controlled. Now they are doing what he wants them to do. And that's a dangerous place for any leader of God's people to be. Although Jesus didn't have a home to invite people into, he did show us how to teach and to love people to the greatness of living with and for God. Sometimes those people had to go from place to place to get it, instead of them always coming back to one location. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's just like, it's just so plain. It's plain as the nose on your face that you need to do this. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if you aren't renewing your mind, if you aren't actively renewing your mind, guess what is happening? You're being conformed to this world. It isn't like you can just learn and stop learning and never think about it again, and you'll lose it. It will go away. It will fade away because it is the world replacing it. You're being conformed back to the world. Doesn't mean you lost your sonship, but it does mean that your relationship with God is now, it's just unclear.
Yeah.
It's foggy. It's, you just don't know. You don't understand. You don't believe. You don't believe all the greatness of what God's done for you. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This word prove is like a scientific proof. Where you do it, you see it works. You do it again, you see it works. That's science. And we're proving, every time that we believe, we are proving what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Phew, that's exciting. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, I don't know how many people have ever taken enough, either drugs or alcohol, to get intoxicated. It's happened to me on more than one occasion in my youth. But is it easy to think when you're in that state? No, it's all. Why don't they want you to drive while you're intoxicated?
Foggy.
That's right. Everything gets slow and you can't respond to what your body's telling you or the sensory input. It's just everything is foggy. Everything's foggy. Well, that's what we want to avoid. We want to bring ourselves to where our renewing of our mind is continually happening, and that we are thinking whole thoughts, and that having whole thoughts kind of puts us in the right perspective, because the natural man is only after what? Things that benefit him.
Yep.
Or those things that he loves, like his family. But that's as far as he gets, the natural man. Mm-hmm. He cannot think about what is the good for everybody. What does God want him to do? What is the direction of God's word telling him to do? He can't think those thoughts. So we want to keep ourselves in the will of God by thinking soberly. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. It's real easy to understand how great my finger is, even though I'm not a finger. Only. Right? Mm-hmm. The eyes can enjoy the finger and how it looks. But my eyes can't pick up my cup. You see?
You can watch your finger do it.
I can watch my finger do it, but I can't have my eyes pick up my cup. All right, so every member in the body is as important as any other member. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Does that mean there's one person who does this only?
No.
No.
It is what you do when you need to do it. Sometimes you're going to be teaching, and sometimes you're going to be showing mercy. Do you see? Sometimes you're going to be prophesying, and sometimes you'll be doing it all in one time in a meeting. That cool? But when it comes time to do that, do it with all your heart. Don't do any of it grudgingly. Verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation, partiality. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affection one to another with what?
Brotherly love.
That's the Greek word Philadelphia, love. I thought that was a bad thing. No, it's not a bad thing. That's where you enjoy each other. You enjoy the game together, whatever else that you're doing, because you just enjoy being together like we had last night. We didn't have a Bible teaching. We didn't do any of that. Didn't speak in tongues and interpret. None of that. We just enjoyed being together.
Yeah.
That's brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. And believe me, all this is going to be hard to do if somebody isn't given to hospitality.